Hey y'all, and welcome back to Scrubbed In. My name is Mo.
And I'm Danny.
And we are final year vet students at the Royal Dick School of Veterinary Studies in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Yeah, woohoo. I forgot that's my job.
You have one job, Danny. No.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, and we've been off on different externships very recently. And that's why we didn't get an episode out last week, because depending on where you are in the world, you may have very spotty internet, as we figured out very fast.
And your time differences make things complicated sometimes. Yeah,
time zone differences add an extra level of interesting, I guess you could say. It's still kind of early in both of our time zones right now, so please forgive us. This might be a little bit interesting.
I also want to claim the whole jet lag thing, but really the difference in the time zone that I just came from is only like 3 hours. And so I can't really complain too much.
I think you can still claim some exhaustion because you went straight from an externship straight back into real life. So yeah, I'll give you that card. You can play that one.
True. I did take a very nice nap yesterday though, because when you take a red eye flight, which I did, so I left at like 9 p.m., and then got in at 7 a.m. and then a different time difference of 3 hours and didn't really sleep on the plane. I got off the plane and I was like, yeah, I need a nap.
Naps are lifesavers nowadays. Like, I remember growing up, it's like naps are a no-no. You don't want to take a nap. And of course, now at the age that we're at, we're like, oh, a nap? That sounds amazing right now.
I know. I just don't understand children. They, like, fight it so hard, and I'm like, I'll take your nap for you and you do my job.
Yes,
because I really love a nap and you're like so against a nap.
No, naps are lifesavers, especially when you're on something like cottage duty or just all those like really really time consuming, mentally taxing placements. If you get like 15-20 minutes, take it. You'll definitely be better on the other side of it, if not more personable, more human-like.
Yeah, to be fair, my taking a nap is more for the people around me than for my actual... I mean, I enjoy naps, but if I don't take a nap, I get very ornery when I'm tired. So I'm trying to think of all the people around me and my loving family yesterday when I was like, I need a nap for a good hour or two if you want me to be nice.
You're just looking out for everybody else. You know, it's a very kind thing to do. Yeah, so naps are a good thing. But yes, we've been on different externships, which we've talked about these before. But of course, this time around, we were at different places doing different things. So Danny, what were you doing?
So I was down in Hawaii, which at Christmas time is lovely, can I just say?
Jealous.
I got a tan. It was like 80 degrees. And now I'm back in a cold place, which is nice because now it feels like Christmas. Everybody in their Christmas decorations in Hawaii, I kept looking at them and I was like, this is weird that you guys have Christmas decorations with palm trees and heat. I'm like, it doesn't feel like Christmas. But anyway, I was down at an aquarium there working with the vet who oversees everything. So we got to work with some nurse sharks we were looking at and a bunch of sea turtles. They have green sea turtles there. And then taking bloods on dolphins and working with those. And I mean, it's a big controversy, the whole captive animal thing. But for me, I wanted to kind of go and see it firsthand and see what it's like to be a vet for those animals, because obviously somebody needs to take care of them, because releasing a lot of them, some of them get released, but a lot of them isn't an option. So somebody needs to take care of them. And I was there for 3 weeks. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, Hawaii was lovely, and I learned a lot at the externship. And we did a lot of things, and I just, like, taking blood from dolphins is something I've never done before, so it was really cool. We got to do that almost every day, because they have a few there, so we were rotating between them. So not every dolphin gets their blood taken every day, but just because there's so many animals. Or I took some blood from sea turtles, which I've never done before. That was really cool. And then You get to work with some nurse sharks, which is also something I've never done. So it's all just something different that I thought was a really good experience because it pushed me out of my comfort zone and made me do some new things, stuff that I had never done before or seen before. And it just helped me to see if it's something that I maybe would like to do someday or not. But I just really enjoyed it because it wasn't your normal, and it's, don't get me wrong, I love dogs and cats and I love the clinic, and I'm going back to another clinic now. So it is a place that I really enjoy, but it was nice to not be with dogs and cats for a little bit and to branch out and try something different.
Yeah, to kind of like use different side of your brain almost. And honestly, those are skills that we never learn. Okay, this is how to take blood from a dolphin in vet school. So those are things that you have to go out into the real world and learn it that way. What would you say would be one of your top favorite moments from the trip?
Oh, that's hard because there's lots of things that happened. But like, I think my favorite was working with the sea turtles. I really enjoyed that. Like, I love the dolphins. I do. But we basically just did bloods on them, and then we would do occasional exams if they had, you know, scrapes or whatever. But we did a lot more with the sea turtles. Like, they weren't eating. We would take blood, and we went and took x-rays on them. And so that was really fun to go to a clinic and then look at x-rays from the sea turtles and take blood. So I really enjoyed working with them a lot.
And do they, you said that they do a little bit of, like, conservation work. How does that look any different in Hawaii than other places that you've been?
So they do some more with wild birds there. So it's a lot of seabirds because obviously they're surrounded by sea. So any of the birds that come in that are not able to fly for any reason, or if they're too light, or if people have just found them on the beach and they're not like flying away, they bring them in, and the park there does like a full exam on them and sees, like we had one bird come in, which we were impressed that it was as old as it was because its wing had this malformation, so it couldn't spread its wing completely out. It could only go about halfway. So it had a fully functional wing on one side, and then its wing looked normal until you tried to spread it all the way out. So it wasn't able to flap or fly, really. And you could see there was like a scrape on one of its wings as it was using it a bit to walk around, or it was trying to fly a little bit but really couldn't. And they said they've seen a couple of those. They don't know if it's like a genetic thing or something that just happens, or if it injured its wing when it was really young and then it healed wrong. So we saw a few birds like that. They take them, they bring them in, and so they give them a full exam, they weigh them. They have like a cutoff weight, which I can't remember what it is, but if they're below that, then, you know, they obviously need to stay. If they're above that weight, then they try and release them. They see if they're just really weak, so they'll hydrate them and like give them a fish. And then they take them out to the beach and see if they'll go. And if not, then again, they need to stay. And sometimes they transfer them to a clinic, especially if like they don't have the means to take care of them, if they need longer care things. So that's about the conservation that they do. They do some stuff with sea turtles as well because they have sea turtles. So they breed them and then they'll release the babies out on the beach. So they like wait till the evening time when it's dark, because that's when a lot of the turtles, the babies will hatch, and then they make their way to the water. And it's also safer from birds, you know, if they do it at night. So they release a lot of their baby sea turtles into the ocean as well to kind of help rebuild the population of green sea turtles that are, you know, endangered and not doing well. So it was cool to see that side of things as well.
And do you think there was like a big takeaway for you on like the veterinary development side of the externship, if that makes sense?
I mean, I learned a lot from the vet I was with. She's amazing. She's worked with these animals for like, at the place that she's at now, she's been there for about 12 years, but she's worked at a few other places that are the same types of animals, so aquarium work, and she's been there. So she's got an experience of over like 20 years. And so it was really good to work with her and to learn a lot from her. And to just, like, we looked at blood work, and I was like, well, I don't know if this is specific to dolphins or not, or if this is just like a dog and cat thing, or what's going on, and then just seeing how she managed the animals and how she took care of them. So it was really cool to see from like a different perspective, because obviously with dogs and cats, you do get to know your patients, and your clients are coming in yearly for their exams, if not more often for other reasons. You get really close to them, but you get really close to these animals because you're working with them every day, and you're working with the trainers, and they're there constantly, and you get to be really close. And like, I was amazed on day one, and obviously I still struggled, but like a dolphin would pop its head out of the water, and she's like, oh, that's who that is, and that's who that is, and I'm like, I can't tell the difference between those two, you know, or I'm like, oh, that one's darker than that one, and she's like, yeah, and that's that, and that's that, and I'm like, okay, I can't follow you, this is too much.
It's like you need a little flip book of all their fin and markings and everything to know who they are.
Yeah, well, and then it's like, sometimes she's like, these two look really similar, but if they put their tail up, then you can tell the difference. And I'm like, and if they don't, she's like, well, then they look like this. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't see that, so I'll just trust you when you tell me that that's who it is, because I can't see.
And thankfully, they have different personalities to a degree, so.
Yeah, they definitely do, and it's really cool to see. They're all so different, and then yet they're the same, and they're all really nice to work with, and then it's funny because you've got some that are a bit lazier than others. They're like, oh yeah, like they don't do this, because they're just like, oh, it's all right. But it was cool, and like we got to work with some sea lions, got to look at some eyes and ophthalmology stuff. So it's really cool because you get to see the differences in it. She's like, I do a lot of ophthalmology, I look at a lot of eyeballs because it's a problem within captive animals. So she does a lot of that, and then we got a lot of blood work. So we looked at a lot of that. And things that I'm not really good at or don't have a lot of experience in, because we just don't really have the option at school for like ophthalmology. We don't, well, now things are changing, but we don't really get a lot of experience in that. And then, I mean, we get blood work and we get to read blood work, but I'm just not good at it. So that was something really good for me to, it kind of forced me to look at it, even though normally I avoid it because I'm not good at it.
No, just like those repetitive trainings, if you will, like looking at blood work or doing a simple manual skill like over and over and over again, like those are really good things that we can get out of our externships. But you have to almost set it as a goal for yourself. So like for one of my externships, like we sat down at the beginning of the week and he was like, all right, what are your goals for this week? What are three of them? Because I was only there for a week. So we set it at a low bar of three. And I was able to go through, like, I want to work on this. I want to see this, and whatever. And so over the course of the week, we were able to, like, if some blood work came in, he knew, like, I specifically wanted to go and look at that. So we were able to do that. Did you have any goals that you set before going into your externship?
No, normally I'm so good about that, but I was not. I think it's partially because I finished the NAVLE like the week before, and so I just was like trying to jump back from the NAVLE, and I wasn't as prepared as I normally am for externships. But after like the first week, I realized like what they do a lot of, and so I tried really hard to make sure that I was always looking at the blood work and comparing it to other ones, because that again is something I'm not good at. So that was one of my goals, which I think I got better at, but I still need a lot of practice
with time. I know, like, there was one blood work I looked at and I got part of it right. I just needed a little bit more time, I think, to verbally just figure it out. Like, I was just talking it out and we ran out of time, but I was like, I'm kind of on the right track, so that's a good start.
I know, it's always nice when you're like, oh, I was right. That's crazy.
I know, but in the beginning, you're like, I think it's this. And they're like, no. And you're like, oh, well, okay, let me go back to the drawing board and really think about this. But
okay. No, so where were your externships then?
So for my externships, I was East Coast bound. So I finished my NAVLE and I went south to the land where there is no snow. And it was warm. Like, I was driving down and I got out of the car at a rest stop and I have like my big vet school jacket, and I was just second nature just to grab it and throw it on. And I got out of the car and I was like, oh gosh, unzipped it, took it off, threw it back in the car. I was like, it is way too warm. It was like in the 50s.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I was like, this is insane. It is way too warm for this. Like in the 50s, of course. So being in Scotland first, you get used to the cold weather and then you come back here and it can be not that warm, but warm enough. And you're like, nope, can't deal with this. So yeah, I was down south and I went to a small animal clinic and then I went to a mixed animal clinic. Both of them were absolutely lovely. I had amazing people who literally looked for every single possible way to include me in whatever was happening. Like I went through my goals with them, and so that helped them understand where I wanted to work on skills. But like at the small animal clinic, I would be like, I could be doing something like, oh, a dog's anal glands or something. And then somebody else will walk by with another dog and they'll be like, hey, Mo, do you want to draw blood on this dog? And then, of course, as I'm drawing blood on this one, someone else would be like, hey, do you want to go look at the cytology? So I was just like rapid fire everything. And it was really, really good because it meant that I was doing these things over and over and over again. And I had a lot of fun. The team at the first clinic, they were like at both clinics, were just super, super supportive. Really helped me grow in my confidence and my skill as a small animal veterinarian. I will say being at a mixed animal clinic, that was like a whole new world because I was in the middle of nowhere. Like people who live 20 minutes from this town didn't even know that this town existed, level of middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that is. I mean, coming from a small town, like I'm aware of being in the middle of nowhere, but that is more than the middle of nowhere than I'm even used to.
Yeah, like the people I was staying with, they're like, oh, so where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm going to this place. And they're like, where's that? And I was like, it's like 20, 30 minutes from here. And they're like, yeah, we don't know where that is. I was like, oh, okay, this is boding well. So like driving out there, thankfully there was like a main road to get there. So it didn't really feel middle of nowhere, but like we saw anything and everything. Like we had like the first day or something, like I did a dog spay and then dogs and cats came in throughout the day. And then Tuesday things started to get a little bit. No, there was also a horse on Monday, but whatever. And then on Tuesday we had like a guinea pig and a rooster and a spider monkey and a cow and horse and dogs and cats. Yeah. So there was literally anything and everything. Walked, crawled. Oh, there's a bearded dragon as well. Walked, crawled, flew through this door. A cockatoo. Like, it was great as a vet student because you're like, oh, I kind of have this information that's a little bit fresh because I just took the NAVLE. And really getting experience in a mixed animal setting. Because honestly, I've done mostly small animal and mostly equine experiences up to it. So I wanted to find out if, like, small animal practice, if mixed animal practice would be a good fit for my first year out. And honestly, I think I do see a bit of a future for myself doing mixed animal work. Oh yeah, there were goats. Can't forget the goats.
Oh, can't forget the goats.
Yeah. So I think there is a future for mixed animal practice for me, but right now I think for the skills that I want to focus on, I might have to hold off on it just for a little while longer. But it was good because I went into it with one mindset and I came out of it knowing a bit more about what I want to do moving forward. So it was good to develop that side of things. And then also just to experience anything and everything. Because there was like one day they're like, oh yeah, we're going to spay this goat. And I was like, you're going to spay the goat.
You're like, maybe I heard you wrong. Maybe you didn't say goat.
Yeah, I was like, come again? And they're like, yeah, we're going to spay this goat. She's really aggressive. We're like, oh, great. So that was something I had never done. That was fun.
Sounds like you got to see a lot of different things and like animals of all shapes and sizes.
Quite literally, yeah. Like there would be the kind of thing where I'd finish the dog's bay. They'd be like, oh yeah, the vet's doing a bull breeding soundness exam outside. Go help. And I walked out there. He's like, all right, put a glove on. Tell me what you feel. And I was like, I've never rectaled a bull before, but we're going to figure it out. Because we've done dairy cows and everything. So it's very similar in the process. It's just, what am I feeling? There's no uterus because it's a boy.
Yeah, well, that's fun, though. I think it's nice to go and see, like, mixed animal where you've got so many options. Especially, like, in a small town like that, you definitely see everything.
Mm-hmm. Because, like,
sometimes
they can't really go anywhere.
Yeah. And there's like another place down the road, or there's another place like 15 minutes away that does dogs and cats and like exotics or something. And so you really only see like a few of the dogs and cats, just to kind of depend. But when you're in a place like that where they're the only place, you see it all.
Anything and everything. And it's also good just for like the veterinary development side of things, because like you have clients who come in, like I went these two different practices. There was a big difference in the financial status of a lot of the clientele, which, I mean, you get that wherever you go, but it's just really good because you go from vet school where they're like, this is gold standard and dogs and cats will come into the hospital with insurance tagged on them. But then you suddenly have clients where they don't have the money necessarily, especially this time of year, to throw everything at an animal. So you have to think about the whole team of the client, the animal, the veterinarian, and everybody who works together, that how can you find an answer for this animal that's still feasible for the client? And that was really good to work on.
Yeah, it's nice because I think the UK is, and maybe other places are like this, but I just know growing up here and working in a lot of clinics here, I hadn't seen a lot of people with insurance just because it's not as common here. So then moving to the UK and working there where not everybody, but most people have insurance on their pets, where they come in and they're like, oh, like, it's fine. We have insurance. Do whatever you want. It makes a big difference because you don't have to think about funds as much. So it's nice to kind of come back to a place where, I mean, it is an obstacle. You wish that you could do the gold standard and do the best for every animal out there all the time. But you do have to think about, you know, what's best for the patient, what's best for the client, what they can afford, what they can't, and then what might be your best choice. But you might have to step down from that, but it's still a good choice. But, you know, so just like adds another layer of things that you have to think about, and it pushes you a little bit more, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, working on those, I guess you could consider it a soft skill then, right? Would you consider it that?
I would think so.
Yeah. And that's one thing that, like, I know as a first year vet student or a second year vet student, when we started doing clinical EMS, my focus was on building my skills, like blood draws and catheter placements and surgeries and all of that. But as I went through it, I'm more and more focused on, like, yes, I want to learn the skills, but then I also took any other time to focus on soft skills and listen to how the veterinarian is talking with the clients, or how does the clinic culture work in that practice, and trying to figure out those type of things. Because as I've gone through, I've realized, oh my gosh, these are the things that are really going to make or break my first year out in practice. Anybody can learn the skills. Anybody can learn the knowledge. Well, anybody, I say in quotes. But the soft skills are something that I feel take a little bit more time to develop. And I just wanted to get as much practice. And so I kind of changed my focus as I went into externships to be like, you know, these are some of my goals, like the skills side of things. And then I have like my soft skills that are included in the goals.
Yeah, and I definitely think like communication is the biggest one that a lot of people forget about, but it's like the most important. Because even if you're the best at all the skills and you're maybe, excuse me, the best surgeon out there, if you can't communicate to an owner why the surgery is necessary or explain to them, you know, what's going on with their pet, then they might walk away and not let you do anything. So you might be the best out there, but if you can't talk to them, then it's not going to do any good. And I think a lot of people forget about communication. And I think that's definitely like a soft skill or a skill that is so important that a lot of us forget about. So I think going out and seeing practice and being on externships, it's really good to focus on that. So it sounds like, you know, you got a lot of experience in those things as well as your main skills as well.
I can only hope that it's developing me into an okay veterinarian, because every day, like, graduation starting to count down. And of course, like, the weirdest thing happened as I was, not, I guess it's not a weirdest thing, but the first time it really happened to me, was on these externships. And I also went and looked at a couple job opportunities. So I was doing almost like an impromptu interview, seeing practices, asking questions. And there were a couple times where, like, the veterinarian I was working with turned around and was like, oh, like, jokingly, this one time was said, oh, yeah, just leave that patient there for Dr. McCauley. And I literally just kind of looked around. I was like, Who now? What now? Oh, that's me now. No.
Yeah. It's really weird. And like, I work in a clinic with another, so he shares the same last name as me because we are related but distantly. And so I go there and they're like trying to figure out what to call me. And I'm like, just call me Danny. And they're like, no, we can't call you that anymore because you're a doctor. I'm like, I'm not a doctor yet. Don't do that. I am, but I'm not. Like, it's, you're freaking me out.
Yeah, it's like, I can't legally call myself that yet. Stop.
Then they're like, we have to figure out something. And they're like, we'll just call you like Dr. Danny. Because they can't call me Dr. Paul because that's what the other doctor's called. Because we share the same last name. They're like, that's way too confusing. And I'm like, then just don't call me doctor. That solves the whole issue.
No, it is a weird thing. And I remember people would tell me, the first time someone calls you doctor, you're going to look around and try and figure out who it is. Like, and like, that's exactly what I did both of these times. And I was like, oh, I like the sound of that. I was like, ooh, Dr. McCauley.
And you said that, you're like, I like the sound. And I was like, who are we talking about here? I'm like, where is this person? I'm like, they must be behind me because you are not talking about me.
Oh, I mean, we spent like eight plus years of our lives just being the future doctor. Like, that's what I will be. I can't call myself that. And then for people, I think it's really good. On externships, they start calling you that.
It's definitely really good.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's so weird because you're like, no, that's me. That's like future me. And then you sit there and you're like, crap, future me is like 6 months away.
Yeah, it's getting so close. And I think that's one thing that, like, from this externship as well, is I just was like, I started to see a lot of the things that I don't know that I maybe thought I did or I hadn't ever thought about. And I was like, I mean, it got more real. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what's going on right now. And I feel like I probably should. I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah. And like, that's why I know for myself, looking for practices, it's, I have a better list of the things that are important to me. Some of them are maybe like the bells and whistles of the practice, but a big one is having a good set of mentors or other veterinarians in the practice that I can be like, I don't know what I'm looking at. Can you look at this? And can you look at this? And can you look at this? And what do I do here? So that's a big thing that I'm looking for in wherever I end up in the next 6 months. Holy crap.
Yeah, I know, right? And like, looking for jobs and all of those things is also like important to do at this moment in time. And it's kind of freaky to go out and be like, hey, I want to work for you and I'm, you know, good at what I do and you should pay me. And it's really weird because, I mean, you work for free so much as a student.
Oh, yeah.
You know, externships, you work for free, and a lot of places you pay to work for them. And it's like such a weird turnaround. It's great, but it's a weird turnaround to be like, right, I'm going to come work for you now and I want you to pay me for this stuff that I've been doing for free for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm still trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, but what's kind of, and then they turn it around, and then I feel like these practices that I was at, they were trying to sell themselves to me and be like, you should come work here. We want you to work here. And I'm just like, why do you want me? And it's like, oh, wait, no, I have value. I'm going to be a good vet.
I feel like it should be the other way around. I should be like, please let me come work here, instead of them being like, please come work here.
Yeah, there's such a shortage of veterinarians right now that pretty much wherever you go, you'll find a job that wants you and you'll be able to work there. And it's kind of a weird twist of fate, I guess. We're at the right time of veterinary medicine that we don't have to claw and nail our way up the ladder, I guess, because there's so many opportunities out there. But it's, in the same way, it causes decision paralysis. Because you look on like the AVMA job site or something, you're just like, there are too many options. There are way too many options.
Yeah, well, and I told my mom yesterday, because I've been interviewing for a few places and receiving some contracts to look through and stuff. And I just was like, you know, I almost just hope that only one of them gives me an option, because then I don't have to choose. Like, I could just take the one that they give me and I don't have to choose between these couple of great options that I've got. Because I'm like, now I'm nervous about making the wrong choice. And it's not that, like, you can't change, like, you're not stuck. You can always leave if it doesn't happen to be right for you, but, like, these are places that I've worked before with people that I know, and like they're sending me these things, and I'm like, I just don't want to disappoint you or like be mean to you and turn you down, but I also can't do both, you know. And then you're like, but what one's better for me, and what's going to help me grow the most in my first couple of years as a vet, where again I don't really know what I'm doing, I need something to help me. And you're just like, what if I make the wrong choice? So yesterday I was like, please just only give me one choice so I don't have to choose.
No, yeah, I'm totally in that boat right now. I have a couple things on the table, and oh geez, at this point I don't want to make the wrong decision. So I'm like talking to people that I trust and just getting all their feedback and really trying to make the most informed decision about this, which as it turned out, like, there was like one offer that came, and it was the kind of thing where like, well, we need an answer within the next 2 weeks because of how everything's working. Whereas the other places, they're like, oh, we know it's like 6 months out, you got time, think about it. But this one's like, no, we need an answer now. And I'm just like, ah, I wasn't planning on this. So it's, yeah, it's a lot to think about. But just kind of going through the list of like, okay, like you have like your check marks, essentially. Does it hit the big ones? Is this a place that you can grow in, that you'll actually develop as a veterinarian? Because like, there's a lot of practices I went to, and yes, they'd be great for me to be at, but for where I see myself, like in my 5-10 year plan of life, I don't see myself being able to hit those benchmarks that I've set for myself being at those practices. I guess this is me saying as a vet student, I don't know, who knows what life will throw at me, but
yeah, like you think you have it figured out too, and then you're actually gonna do it and be like, oh, just kidding.
Psych.
But I do think like there's definitely pros and cons to every job. Like, having looked at a few places now and things, you're never going to find a job that is absolutely perfect and 100% great. Like, you're just not. Because people aren't perfect, and like businesses aren't perfect. And so I'm like a huge pros and cons person, and I like make a big pros and cons list about all the places, because I don't think you're never going to find a job that has no cons in it. And if you do, like, you haven't seen everything, because there's definitely cons in there somewhere and they're just trying to hide them from you, you know? But I think the important thing is looking, and not looking for something that has no cons, but looking for a place that you can work with that, and you can live with the cons, essentially. Like, they might not be your ideal situation, but they're not as bad as the cons at other places, you know, or things like that. So it's not that you're ever going to find a perfect place, but finding a place that's perfect and it fits for you and what you find to be a good environment to work in and a good place to learn in.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of sums it up there. And I think of how that compares to externships, where the reality is like, you don't know what you're going into before you go to a lot of these externships. Like, you read a little thing online, and then you go there and you're like, oh my gosh, this place is not what I wanted it to be. But thankfully I'm only there for like 1, 2, maybe 3 weeks, and then you're like, bye. Okay, learning experience.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hard, because you definitely are like, you try and figure out what it's like, and you try and look, but you really have no idea.
And like, being in school in the UK, I feel adds like this extra layer, like we talked about before, where I don't really have, like, we don't have a lot of time to go and visit a ton of practices while we're here in the States. So, because we're only here for like a little couple weeks at a time, so you can't go do like a 3-week externship at 6 practices, because you just don't have the time. So like, what I had to do was I literally set up like 4 practices in the span of a week, and I went to each of them for one day, which I was like, this is not near enough time to actually get an idea of the practice. But if nothing else, I have at least stepped foot into the practice. I have talked to the practice managers or the owners, and I've seen a brief snippet of how their day works, which is better than just looking at a job advert online.
Yeah, and you get to see the practice as well, which sometimes that makes a big difference too, because you like go in and you look at it and you're like, oh, I don't think I could work in this place, because it's not, you know, it may not have as many windows, or it may not be as bright, or things like that. And it's not that those are super important, but you also need to pick an environment that is good too. And even just stepping in for a day can give you a brief glimpse of what it's like.
So I wouldn't recommend it as your main job searching technique, but if you're strapped for time... if you're strapped for time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good. If you're looking for a job to try, you know, I would say ideally to go and do an externship there for at least, I always say 2 to 3 weeks. I think that's the best time frame. But again, if you're strapped for time and you can only go for a day, it's still better than not seeing it at all.
Yeah, and that was one of my kickers, like a couple of places that I went. I was like, man, I really wish I could be here for a couple weeks at a time, but it is what it is. I only had a week or a day or something. And staying in contact with the people at the practice, even when you're not there, is a really big part. Because if you are interested, like, you want to let them know that. And that way you can keep asking questions and you can conceivably be a familiar face, even though you've just been having email conversations with them afterwards. But listen to us talk about ways of finding a job. We have no idea what we're doing.
We're just putting on a really good show. But yeah, even if you just go in for a day too, it helps them to put a face to an email, because a lot of times, I mean, you can make up, well, not make up, but you can perceive somebody one way in an email, but when you meet them, you actually like get a better sense of what it's like. So it is good to go in for sure. But yeah, we're definitely just making it up as we go and trying to figure out what's really happening in life.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's the whole point of this podcast, is to be like, we have no idea what we're doing, but this is how we're going through life. Have fun.
Yeah, this is what we did. And maybe, you know, once we get jobs and stuff, we'll be like, maybe you should have done this instead because we didn't do that. You know, things like that.
It's a learning experience. Yeah. But so what do we have coming up then, now that we've essentially finished our, like, this is the end of our core rotations? No, wait, we finished, like, technically what, a week or two ago? Like that?
2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, so core rotations are officially over. We're moving into selected rotations. We've talked a little bit about selecteds. Yeah, I think you said you're doing a lot of exotics selecteds, or?
Yeah, so I've got, like, farm, and then I'm at the zoo for a few weeks, and then I'm in Morocco working with the equine and stuff. So I've kind of got a good mix of large and exotics. I kind of stayed away from dogs and cats just because I've worked in a clinic with dogs and cats for quite a few years. So I felt like I needed to try and get experience somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'm looking at my selecteds and I'm like, that's not exactly fitting the job model of where I'm likely to end up now. But I'm taking it as I'm still going to be working on a lot of skills and communication and, like, a lot of stuff that eventually I do see myself going into more of a mixed forte, maybe, or doing some kind of medical missions or something with it. So it all has value. It all will benefit. It's just not exactly, like, life has just changed very dramatically. Let's just go with that.
Yeah. But a lot of skills are transferable as well. Like, I don't plan to work with horses. But I chose a horse selected because I was like, oh, a lot of those skills that I learned there are very transferable. And it's in a place where you have to think on your feet. And I'm like, I'm going to have to do that every day. So I think that would be a good option for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're definitely able to transfer all the skills that you learn.
Yeah, so I'm looking at, like, 2 equine blocks, essentially. A farm animal block and then 1 small animal block. But then we do have more free choice, which, yeah, I kind of can fill that with whatever I want.
Yeah, I have a lot of freedom there.
Yeah, and then...
But anyway, you stay tuned and listen to us go through that whole experience.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. But yeah, and then right after that, boom, graduation done, moving on to real life. Yep.
Which is crazy that it's so close. I can't believe it.
I am so excited to be done.
It's like getting so much more real now that you're that I'm, like, looking for jobs and, like, getting contracts, and it's like... crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, it is actually happening.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, when I remember at the beginning, I was like, I'm putting the brakes on, like, final year is kind of a big step. But once I launched into it, I was like, all right, man, let's do this. Let's keep going. I want to graduate. I want to work as a vet. Like, I'm ready for this now. And so I feel like I'm just racing towards the finish line now, which is a very arbitrary finish line, because once you finish, you technically start.
Right? Yeah, it's like... It's like a starting line, really. You finish that school, and then you jump in. But
yeah, that's that's what we got going on, and I hope you guys stay tuned. As always, we love hearing from you guys. I've been receiving some very lovely comments about episodes and different ideas, and just hearing from you guys to celebrate your ups and downs of life. But as always, if you want to support the podcast, which would be awesome if you did, the best way right now is to just share this episode with one of your friends. And I don't know, what do you think? Should we start a Patreon?
Start a what?
A Patreon.
Oh, see, I don't even know what that is.
Okay, we'll talk about that afterwards then. let me know, you guys. Do you think we should start a Patreon? Starving vet students. Anyway, yeah. So that's what we got going on. Anything else to add? Am I supposed to do something else at the end of these? I forget.
No, just follow the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram. You know, and yeah, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Okay. Bye, guys. Till next time. See ya.